here tonight. I need your prayers. I've been talking a whole lot about the weather lately, and I'm 37 now. I've come to the time in my life where I think I can make my own decisions. I believe some of y'all are old enough to make your own decisions too. Well, I like winter better. It's nice and cold. I like cold weather. I like all the snow, and I like the times of the year, like the Christmas and Thanksgiving, where family is gathered all together, and not to mention we all like the food, and we all like what the days signify. But some of y'all say, well, no, I don't much like that real sub-zero temperatures. I like fall better, not better temperature. It makes me feel better. I like the colors of the leaves. God talked about change, and a lot of us look to the changing of the colors of the trees to be that signifying just that God is endorsing change. And some of us say, well, no, I don't much like winter. I don't much like fall. Spring is so much better. I really like the sunshine. The temperature is great. The spring break that we get is wonderful. I like my vacation time. I like to be able to go down south to where the temperatures are even better. And then, of course, we have others that say, well, no, those other three seasons aren't it. I really like summertime. I really like the temperature. The weather is a lot more favorable. It's a lot more predictable. We do get rain, we do get a little cold, but it feels a little bit better. Well, I'm one of those people that said to have liked summer weather better, but that's not exactly the case now. I've come to realize that with a little age and a little wisdom, I've come to realize that maybe it's better not to complain about the other three seasons and just like them all, like all four of them, because they're what God gave us, and we're going to let that satisfy our soul. Jesus said, I am the truth, the light, and the way. Anyone that cometh unto me shall have everlasting life. That's my scripture text for tonight. I ask that y'all pray for me. I was very, very happy when Brother Miller called me, but I was also a little unsure if I had a message on my heart. But fortunately, it didn't take the 2 hours that I said I'll call Brother Miller back. I said, I'll let me study for 2 hours and see if God put something on my heart. And, well, it wasn't 2 hours. It was very quickly where the words just start flooding into my heart. And I hope that I can express those words to you tonight. And I hope that God will receive the glory tonight. My message tonight is about light. Where you know my scripture text where Jesus said he's the light. Well, I have several unspoken prayer requests on my heart, but two things are notable. I have a very dear friend that just had a very, very bad car wreck, and he's been off his feet, and he came to close to death a few times. And to my knowledge, I haven't heard a salvation experience from him. And I pray that, thanking God for sparing his life a little bit longer so he can, at least I can hear his story one day. Maybe he already has it. I hope that's the case, but if not, he'll get right with the Lord. That's my prayer. But that light will do just that. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I believe that if this young man, my friend, turns to Jesus and finds that way that Jesus will speak sweet peace to his heart. I also have been thinking a lot about people that have the same disability that I do. I've been hearing word of several of them, a little bit younger than me, that have been passing away. I hope that I've been able to talk about Jesus enough where they have found their way. That is my hope. And they left this world with a salvation experience, an experience where they know they have Jesus. I said, y'all pray for me. We know Jesus is a light. And then Mark 16, if y'all would turn to in your Bibles to Mark 16 and read along with me, I think that's very important, especially since my speech isn't so good anymore. It would be better if you read along. Now, it's very noticeable on a day like today, with the sun coming into the building here, and when we were outside before we came into our church building, the sun was shining down on our building, and we could see it had a nice glow to it, had a real nice glow to it. I really like how the parking lot was spotless. It's got a new coat of sealant on it, new paint. That's great. That's great. I really like being able to come into a building and being able to park in a set spot. Maybe that's just me, but I believe there's others in the same situation as me that like to have a parking spot. It may not be right here, maybe in the back, and we may not park in the same spot every time, but it's nice nonetheless. I like being able to pull into a building and the grass being cut real nice. It just looks better. I'm not wild about grass that comes up to my knees. I don't like the way that looks next to a building. I like how it looks next to a barn, but not necessarily next to a church building. So I'm very thankful that we have a nice looking yard out front and shore side, and we have a little nice landscape area out front, and we have bushes and trees. Some of that, yes, was because the city told us to, but I'm sure that there's other reasons. Now we'll turn our attention to the inside of the church building. I look around and I don't see stuff strung around and just tissues lying on. We have a bunch in the box laying up front, but we don't have a bunch of tissues laying on the floor and spread out there all the pews. I'm real thankful for that. I look at the podium here, and there's not much dust. There isn't any really. I don't see any on the flowers here, the nice flower arrangements that just appeared in front of us. Well, it didn't just appear in front of us. Somebody put it there. I'm not sure who was responsible for the flower arrangements for this month, but they look good. I'm thankful for that. There are a lot of things to be thankful for that happened in a church building that need to happen. We have a wonderful pastor. We have many preachers. We have a bunch of deacons. We have plenty of. When I called Brother Miller the second time to let him know that I was more than happy to preach tonight, he was out visiting, and that's very important. That's a need that happens within a church that sometimes doesn't happen, but it does in our church. We make sure that our sick are ministered to and they have their needs met. I'm thankful for that. We have all the many members that are in the church, and I'm so thankful for your attendance tonight. Without the members, I would still study, but my need to fill God's Great Commission wouldn't be filled in this building if there weren't any members, because in that Great Commission, I've been told to spread the gospel whenever I can, at every opportunity I can. We have Sunday school teachers. We have song leaders, instrumentalists. We have a lot of things to be thankful for within our church building. Some are needed, and some are required, and some are we're told very specifically when reading the Bible that needs to happen. But some things like a flower arrangements that they're not a have to, and the Bible didn't tell us we have to have a flower arrangement. I believe the tabernacle of old times in the Old Testament, that there were very specific things that they had to do, but in the new church, we don't have anything telling us that there has to be a flower arrangement, but we have them nonetheless. They're pleasing to my eye. I imagine they're pleasing to your eye as well. I'm very thankful for that. I hope y'all are too. And then back to the scripture. And we are looking at Mark 16, chapter 15 and 16, or verse 15 and 16. So Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. And he said unto them, and this is Jesus speaking, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, those are very important words that we were told by Jesus, very specific words that we were told by Jesus. And isn't he the one that we're here to worship and give glory tonight? And he left very specific instructions for us. We're to spread the gospel whenever we have the opportunity. Well, have you spread the gospel lately? Have you told your neighbor? You might not be a preacher. You might not be a preacher, but you don't have to be a preacher to spread the gospel. You have a lot of different opportunities. You have your neighbor from the house you live in. You have your neighbor that's sitting next to you today. Did you tell them yet that they need Jesus? Did you tell them how thankful you are to have Jesus in your life? Have you told your neighbor that you live next to that? Have you told your boss at work that you love Jesus? Have you spread the gospel? Well, if we don't, the seriousness of that is, Jesus said very specifically about their eternal life that they'd be damned, that they would not receive everlasting life in heaven. And we know exactly what that means. If you're not spending everlasting life in heaven, well, we know where you're going to end up at eternally. And none of us wants that. It just doesn't sound too nice not to be next to Jesus, next to that light. And then now we'll turn our attention to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and I'm going to read these, and like I said, I really hope that y'all are going to read along with me, because my speech isn't good, and I hope I don't misspeak. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. Well, let me stop right there. What are you good for? What are you good for? Well, I know that I'm a preacher, that God called me to preach. Is there something God called you to do? Are you doing that? Or are you just sitting there and taking up space? If you're just sitting there, that's fine. If you're just sitting there listening, if that's your calling to sit and listen, I definitely understand that. That is definitely some of the callings that God gives His children. And then he goes on to say, ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Very important. And all the young people that are here probably have remembered this word by word in Vacation Bible School. It's very common. In Matthew verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, which is in heaven. What are you good for? Are you doing what God has told you to do? Has He told you yet what you're to do? He told me at a fairly young age what I was supposed to do, and fortunately I've been doing it ever since. But that's not the case in everybody. Some people are well over the age of 20 before they know what God wants them to do. That's okay, but are you praying for it? Are you trying to ask God to see what you're supposed to do? I hope that's what you're doing tonight. I hope that you exalt God and look for His direction and what you're supposed to do. And so we would not hide the light that He put in our heart. If you're saved, I know that there's something that you're going to do. It's something that God wants you to do, something God's going to call you to do. Are you doing that tonight? But He doesn't, after He gives it to you, he doesn't want you to hide that light. He wants it to be shown to all people. Well, you know how I told you I don't speak well. I also, my mannerisms, the way I move, not too good, a little Magoo and robotic in my speaking. That's okay. I rely on someone to for pretty much everything in my life. That's okay too. I think there's a reason for that in my life. Once I was diagnosed at age 24, it was real easy for me to live with it because I knew what Jesus had done. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to stop right there. I want to tell you something else, a little personal update, if you will. Recently, I was asked to be the speaker at Faith and Family Night by the Bowling Green Hot Rods baseball team. So here next month, I'm going to stand in a baseball stadium. I've never been on the field of a baseball stadium before, but I'm gonna fulfill the Great Commission. I'm gonna get to do exactly what God had called me to do. And that's gonna feel so good. I tell you, it's gonna feel good. It feels good, doesn't it, Brother Miller, to do what God wants you to do, even if you're not so good at it. God will make it good if it's His will. I believe that. I truly believe that. That God will make whatever situation you're in good if that's His will. If that's His will for your life, have you been praying for it? You have a beautiful voice. Are you a song leader? Do you lead music on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning? Do you tell Brother Miller that I have on my heart to lead a song? I have on my heart to sing a song. I have on my heart to play a musical instrument and glorify God. I have it on my heart tonight to teach a Sunday school class. I have it on my heart tonight. Have you told your neighbor? I have it on my heart to be in a specific Sunday school class. We have many Sunday school classes. That's something else going on in our church that we're not specifically told to do, but it's great. It's wonderful. I enjoy it. I hope that y'all do too, to have a wide variety choices to make when we come to church on Sunday morning. We come a little earlier than the Sunday morning preacher, which we are told in the Bible that we're supposed to have, but we come a little earlier to listen to that Sunday school teacher. Is God telling you that you need to do the flower arrangements once for one Sunday for a month? There are so many things that you could be doing, and it's going to feel so great once you do it. I have so many things that I can tell you that are wrong with me tonight, but Jesus will make those things right. If He wants you to go through that specific struggle, if He wants you to walk through fire so you can surpass your troubles and speak in front of some people, if you can come past your struggles, people knowing that you put flowers in the front of the church, but they might not be the right color to make everybody feel happy. I know that weighs heavy on some of y'all's hearts. It's got to be the right colors, but and some people might not like the colors, but God won't make you focus on that. That's what He wants y'all to do. I promise you, you're gonna feel happy about it. You're gonna to not just be okay with it, you're going to excel at it. When God tells you to do something, he doesn't mess around. He makes it happen. He makes it happen just right, the way he wants it to. Now, we all know about the story of Elijah running from Jezebel and having to hide, and all of his feats that happened before he was in hiding. But let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19. And we got Elijah. He just slew a bunch of false prophets, a bunch of prophets that were to an idol, and he just slew them, and he ran in hiding, and he was hiding from Jezebel because he knew that Jezebel was going to pursue him for that. And wanted to do him harm as well and take his life. But 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain." God told Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. And he did. And at that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering the cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft voice, a still, small voice. "What are you good for?" Why would God want to use me? Well, you might ask yourself that. You might ask your friends or loved ones that. Same question. You might be very serious about it. You might desperately want answers, but are you talking to God about it? Are you asking God, "What am I good for? What am I supposed to do at my home church? What do you want me to do?" Every single time that I've asked God for an answer, he's given me an answer in some way, shape, or form. He's spoken sweet peace to my heart about every decision I've ever made. Because I make it a point to stop before I do anything, no matter what the situation calls for, I make it a point to say, "Well, is this your will, God? Is this what you want? Is this what you want me to do?" When I was 20 years old and I was called to preach, I said, "Are you sure, God? Are you sure? Is that what you want me to do?" I'm not a very good speaker. This was before I was disabled. I was actually a pretty decent speaker at the time. But I was asking God and having a conversation with God, and he spoke to me in a still small voice. It wasn't anything big. God has not stopped me in the middle of the road and gave me a sign of an angel coming down. That's not how that it has worked with me. I've had a still small voice to speak peace to my heart, and that's if he doesn't give you a big, fantastic sign, if he doesn't let the earth shake around you and the fire come through, and he doesn't have the wind, a great big wind, we know about burning bush that didn't consume the bush. If he hasn't done that for you, if he hasn't parted the waters of an ocean, don't think that it has to work for each and every single person that way. It doesn't have to be a big, fantastic sign. God will speak sweet peace to your heart in a still, small voice at some times. Now, sometimes he'll speak to you a little bit louder, but hopefully we answer his call before it gets too loud. I know some preachers that they didn't answer the call the first time that God wanted them to preach, and they suffered for that. That they had great pains for that, both emotionally and physically, but the consequences are the same for any calling. If he wants you to clean the church and you don't do it, God's going to make you suffer for that, for not answering his call right away. You're not going to be happy. Now, I end up talking about myself about every single time I stand behind the podium, but I believe that's what God wants me to do each and every single time. Some people say, "Well, how do you do it? How do you make it through the day?" I tell you what, it's just this simple. I slap a smile on my face and say, "It's because Jesus." It's because Jesus. I don't fight his call. I can stand behind the pulpit and smile because of Jesus. It's that simple. You can do the impossible because of Jesus. If you're holding out to his hand, you can walk on water. That's pretty fantastic. Walking on water. You can walk on water. If you're holding to Jesus' hand and he wants you to walk on that water, you can move mountains. If that's what Jesus wants you to do, you can move mountains. Are you going to answer his call? And don't just take my word for it. Don't just say, because Michael has his own personal struggles, and he's willing to tell them, don't just take me for my word. Take Jesus at his word. 2 Corinthians, verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Jesus is having a conversation with his child, Paul. And Jesus actually answered Paul, and it may have been a big, spectacular feat, or it may have been in a still, small voice. The 2 Corinthians doesn't tell us, but I'm sure it was big to Paul. I'm sure it was of great significance to Paul. Let's turn our attention back to the scripture. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, and this is Paul speaking now, will I rather glory? Will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me? Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I am strong. I tell you, if you answer Jesus' call tonight, he'll make you happy. No matter how what your situation is, no matter if you're weak or strong, and you know it, and you know you're not strong enough to answer his call, Jesus will tell you tonight if you listen. And perhaps in a still small voice, he's saying to you what you need to be doing tonight. Do you need to answer his call tonight? Do you need to do what Jesus says tonight? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though you were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. Are you going to learn obedience? Or are you going to be obedient to God's call tonight? Are you going to answer his call tonight? I have faith that you can. That God, I know, because God did it for me. He one day, and then one day again, and then the next day, and the next day over 15 years, I've been a preacher for many years. I've been saved. I answered his call when I was 7 years old. So for 30 years, I've been answering God's call by telling people, you know, I'm saved and I'm happy about that. I know God touched my life. Did he touch your life? Is he going to touch your life? Tonight can be the night that that you answer his call. Tonight can be the night that of salvation. Are you going to answer his call tonight? Well, what are you going to do in the church? You're saved. You're in your 50s. I'm too old to do anything new. Well, God, and it gives a thumbs up to change. God likes change. He wants you to change your life. Even if you're 50 years old and you haven't answered God's call to do something within the church, you can do it tonight. You can start, and then you can do it well. In spite of how weak you might be, you're going to end up doing a fantastic job as long as you hold to Jesus' hand. What are you supposed to do? What does God want you to do tonight? Out of the many people that are gathered here tonight, I would imagine one of you, God speaking to just one of you, maybe two of you, maybe three of you. He might be speaking to all of us together in a still small voice. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Do you want to hear that for your life? It's my prayer tonight that You want to answer Jesus' call, no matter what it is, no matter what size you might think that the calling is, big or small. I pray that you answer that call, no matter how big and strong you think you are, or no matter how insignificant you think you might be. I pray that tonight's the night that you answer his call, because with Jesus, all things are possible. He wants you to be saved tonight if you're lost. If you're if you've been saved for a while now and you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting in your chair and you don't have anything to contribute, you don't tell your neighbor, well, that it was great, a great day that God has given me. And he gave that day to you, and you have a smile on your face. That's something that you did. Is that what Jesus wants for you? Are you going to answer his call? That's my prayer for you tonight. I would ask if there's a song. Could we have a song, please? And then I pray that while we're singing the words of the song, that if something that has been said by Brother Miller and myself, or maybe there's something in the words that or touching your heart that's speaking to you in some sort of voice, whether it be big or small, whether it be a big, fantastic sign or still a small voice, I pray that you answer this call tonight. I have it on my heart tonight to encourage each and every single one of you to come up to the altar and pray. Let's all pray for his direction for our lives. It's important, people, because what we do shows others our light. And we all know that Jesus asked us, he commanded us, he directed us to share our light and spread it all over and not just hide it under a bushel, people. We're supposed to share that light. Is that what God wants you to do? Let's have a song.
79. 79.